Next Sunday, I will have been here in this church 36 years. And I didn't say that for any praise for myself, because it has to be the Lord. I've been called everything but from God to the devil since I've been here. So, and neither one of those are right, incidentally. And so, if I can be accused of anything, it's getting people in the Word of God, and that's what I try to do. And I'm here because of the support of many of you. I've been here that long. I plan on being here as long as I possibly can be. But I've learned some things in those years. I've been a Christian about 40 years. And I've learned a lot of things in that 40 years. And one of the things I've learned is that the devil is a tremendous deceiver. One of the reasons we're in the mess we're in this country is because the church has not stood up and spoke the truth. But Christ was not particularly interested in politics. But he wasn't interested in people following him. And so I believe that there are some very basic things in the Word of God that God teaches us about following him. Who can tell me what was the very last commandment that Jesus Christ gave before he ascended into heaven? What was the very last commandment he gave before he ascended into heaven? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Anybody else?
Go and preach the gospel to all nations.
Preach the gospel to all nations?
Yeah,
right. Amen. Okay.
Love the Lord.
Well, one of the things I'm going to talk about today is the last commandment of God, but I want to show you in the scriptures. Many people believe just exactly what you said, and those things are not wrong, but it was not the very last thing he commanded, interesting enough. And so I really believe that the church is going to come under persecution in these coming days. I believe we're coming into a time where we're going to see great miracles, but we're also going to see great times of trouble. And I believe that Christians are going to be tested, and you're going to know who a real Christian is before Jesus comes. And I really believe that. And so I want us to look in John 15 and verse 15 this morning. We're going to look at several scriptures. I'll move through this as quickly as I can, but I'm going to tell you what I believe and I've learned, because the devil has deceived the church in general about the work of the Lord. So, John chapter 15 and verse 15 says, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord does, but I've called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I've made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I chose you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another." Now that is a command of God. No question about it. There it is. Love one another. It says right there in black, white, and red, if you have one that has read where Jesus spoke. And that was absolutely correct. It was one of the commandments of God. Let's go to Matthew 28 and verse 19. And we have the other commandment that was mentioned. And yes, it was a commandment of God. No question about it. It determines what denomination you're in. You probably might believe this was the last commandment. Let's go verse 16, Matthew 28, 16. "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain, and Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, and it really says in the Greek, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. And so that very definitely was a command of God. And here's what the devil has done. He has divided the church between the Word of God and the power of God. You got all these denominations that are so excited about the Word of God and they're in the Word of God, but they deny the power of God. And then you have denominations that all they talk about is the power of God, and they're really not too strong in the Word of God. And so you've got two extremes in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Those that love the Word, those that love the power. And I believe the truth, as it always is somewhere in the middle. But I believe that the church has ignored this, and this is why the church is not standing up and speaking truth today to its people. I can absolutely tell you without a doubt and with no problem at all that Islam is an enemy of Christianity. Now, there's no sense beating around the bush. If you study the facts and study the truth, you will find out that's true. But we are to love them. We are to love them. We're not to go and kill them and do all this kind of stuff. But their religion teaches that you are to either kill Christians or put them in bondage where they pay at least 20% tax to the Islamic republics. And that's true. And we are. Through oil. That's what we're doing. It's really interesting that we don't understand history and we don't understand the Word of God and we don't understand these things. If you really study the Bible properly, you'll find out that Islam is going to be the entity, going to be the enemy in the last days of Israel. It already is. But it says that very clearly in the Scriptures. So we shouldn't expect anything else because that's what the Word of God says. That didn't make it right, but that's what it says. Now, so far we've been talking about lately, I've talked about loving God and enjoying Him forever. That's the number one commandment that Jesus Christ gave us. The second one, I really believe, is to become, let the power of God cause us to become like Jesus Christ on this earth. That's extremely important. There's some other things, and I'll be talking about those in the next few Sundays. But I think it's time for the church to wake up, start getting into truth, start finding out what we're to be doing, and instead of being divided on things, we ought to be united in Jesus Christ. Now, of course, we all know that they're supposed to go out and make disciples of all nations. We all know that we are to come to Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, receive Him as our Lord, and everybody knows that. And that is an absolute necessity. You can't go to heaven without it. But what the devil has done, he's told these people, well, you're saved, now you can live any way you want to, and you'll go to heaven. That is not true. Another deception of the devil about salvation is, well, you were saved back there, so you're okay. That's a deception. If you're not okay today, there's something wrong. Well, you're not supposed to be looking in the rearview mirror all the time. We're supposed to be looking forward to what God's going to do. Satan has taken our eyes off of Christ coming and preparing for that, by causing us to look back to the cross and say, okay, we're saved, so we're okay. That isn't what the Bible teaches. Yes, I believe if you really receive Jesus Christ and you have the Holy Spirit in your spirit, you are saved, you will go to heaven. Yes, I believe that. But that's just the beginning, and God said, don't stay there, keep moving. Now I'm going to tell you the second thing he said, and this is the last commandment that Jesus Christ gave before he ascended into heaven. Go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, I'm going to read through verse 9. It said, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandment to the apostles whom he had chosen. This is the commandment. To whom he had showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen by them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So what was the commandment? Go into Jerusalem and wait until you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's what it was. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time begin to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he basically said, no. It's not the time to restore the kingdom of Israel. It's time to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit and move on in your Christian life. And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which your Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive the power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So the last commandment was, go in Jerusalem and pray and wait for the baptism with the Holy Spirit, because I don't want you trying to do the things of God without the power of God. And that's why the devil has deceived half of the church. They're trying to do the works of God without the power of God, you see. And then you got the other bunch that's doing the things in the power of the God, but they don't understand the word of God. And so they're both been deceived, and so we want to get into the middle to find out where the truth is here. He said, wait until the power comes before you make disciples. The church is not in the entertaining business. The church is in the disciple business. That was a pretty weak amen. Amen. Okay, now you see, there are churches dead bringing thousands of people in, and they're entertaining everybody, and everybody's happy, and then they go home and do whatever. That was never the plan of God. It wasn't to come to church to be entertained. It was come to church to find out the word of God, be empowered by God, and then go out and be like God. I didn't say you'd be God. I said be like God out in the world. But Satan's got these people that believe, well, you just go to church and you whoop it up in church and have a good time, and then you go home and do whatever you want to do. And that's not what the scripture teaches. So we got two extremes in the body of Christ, and neither one of them are doing a whole bunch for God. Some of them are making more noise than others, but they're not doing a whole lot for the cause of Christ. And so he says, what you need is the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And so he said, before you go out and do all this stuff, you can't do anything that's eternal without the baptism with the Holy Spirit. That's what he said. It has nothing to do with denominations. It has to do with Jesus. Now, you know, it's so important to get the power of the Holy Spirit on your life as well as in your life. There's a difference. Now, he said, I'm going to restore the kingdom later. Don't worry about that part. Other than get ready for it. Just getting our politics right is not going to get it. That's important, but it's not going to get what God wants in our life, you see. Now, It's going to help people to give your love to others. That's very important. This is something the lost people do not have. There's a difference between Christians and lost people. What's the difference? The Holy Spirit. Lost people don't have the Holy Spirit. Now, that's why the church basically has lost its way. When we get to the place that we want to fill up stadiums, just say we filled them up and count everybody who was there and said we had this many people in church, we have missed something. You see. We're not looking for kingdoms. We are, but we're not right this minute looking for kingdoms. We're looking for the power of God. The Lord wants us to have his power to help the world that is in mass confusion. The church really has lost this last command of God. Now, I'll tell you something, how the devil has deceived the so-called Pentecostals. And that is, you have the baptism with the Holy Spirit, you have this great experience with God, and you had it back there 20 years ago, and just keep looking back at that experience, and you're going to be all right. And that is a lie of the devil. He did the same thing with the Baptists. Say, just look back at your salvation, and everything's going to be okay. Both of those are wrong. It's absolutely amazing how he has worked. And that's why the church has no power today, really. And that's why we get all involved in all kinds of issues which have nothing to do with anything as far as God is concerned. Anybody that thinks they can do the will of God without the power of God hasn't read the Bible. That's the issue. I'm not mad at anybody, but I want to get people in the truth of God to know what is going on. You know, if all you do is come to church, you sing, you give your money, you listen to the message, you live through the invitation, and go home, you might as well have stayed home. What good is it if you don't have the power of God during the week? What good is it? It's not really any good. You know what they call that in the Bible? Religion. You go to church, you do your thing, and then the rest of the week you do everything in your own power. Then you come back to church and you listen to all the things of God and you have a good time, and then the rest of the week you do everything in your own power. That's religion. It's not Christianity. Aren't you glad you came today? The only chance this world's got is to hear the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only chance we have. We have no other chance. You see, what we need is the anointing of God. When we go to the gas station, when we go to Walmart, when we go to meet our friends, when we talk to somebody on the phone, when we encounter people, you see. Another thing Satan's done has put everybody, some people, he's isolated them, and they're never around any other people, don't want to be around any other people, and they're not going to do what God wants them to do because they never touch anybody's life. You see, oh, it's just me and Jesus going down the road. That's not scriptural. The greatest commandment is love. If you haven't got anybody around to love, how are you going to do it? If you're not around people, how are you going to love? If you isolate yourself someplace, how are you going to love? It's impossibility. I'm not picking on anybody. How many people here today, and I want to show your hand real quick, has ever led somebody to Jesus Christ personally? Okay, there's a few. That's pretty good. I was surprised. But you see, you can't do that without this power of God. People don't do that unless they've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Normally, they don't. Now, if you haven't allowed God to work with you during the week, you better get baptized tonight. I don't want anybody to get baptized not serious about God, because that's a serious thing. If you know, somebody's talking about, well, you know, I'm engaged to get married. Wonderful. Do you realize this is a serious matter? That's what baptism is. It's an engagement, a public announcement. I'm going to be married to Christ. Hallelujah. You see. The teaching on the Holy Spirit is usually two extremes. And here they are. It's either some hopped up, silly, bizarre behavior that caused people to say, I don't want any of that. Or the church is cold as ice, folding their hands, the frozen chosen. Saying that that Holy Spirit's all of the devil. They're talking about God. They're both wrong. They're both wrong. I've been in both camps. I've been in all kinds of churches. I've seen people run the pews, run the aisles, roll on the floor. If there were chandeliers, you'd swing off of them. And I've seen people say, be still and know that He is God. They're both wrong. I know. I've done it all. Oh, my.
We're not supposed to laugh at church, are we?
Yes, we are. I'm here to tell you there's a whole lot more to church, and this is all good. I think it's all great. Singing, giving, hearing a sermon, that's all good. But if you go home and just forget the whole thing, wait till next Sunday, how is God going to do anything in your life during the week? How's He going to do it? He's not going to do it. You're not going to be open to God. You're not going to be open to those things. We need to get this thing settled once and for all. Now, if I'm wrong, if it's not in the Scriptures, you tell me. Because I don't want to play games with anybody's life. It's a serious business. I am responsible for God for what I teach you. Go to John 20 and verse 19. I want you to see something very interesting here. John 20 and verse 19. And I'm going to try to finish this at a decent time today, but I have to teach this, okay? So give me a little leeway here. John 20 and verse 19. Here's what it says. Then the same day at evening, which was being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when He had so said, this is after He rose from the dead, He showed him His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, peace be unto you, as My Father has sent Me, even so I send you. And when He had said this, He breathed on them, and they received, I want you to see the word received, the Holy Spirit. Now, that, in my opinion, was their born-again experience. They received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came into their spirit. They became born again. They became Christians. I don't think they were Christians in the sense that we understand it today. Up to that point, Jesus breathed on them. It was very necessary because I'm going to show you why. Look at John 14 and verse 16. This is what Jesus said. He said, I'm going to pray the Father. I'm going to pray to the Father. He will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you will know him, for he dwells with you and shall be what?
In you.
Shall be what?
In you.
In you. That's salvation. That is salvation. It's absolutely necessary. You can't go to heaven without it. Receiving Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes. He comes to live in your spirit. He comes to what is called baptize you into the body of Christ. You are placed into God's family. At salvation, Spirit of God comes in you. You're baptized into the body of Christ. That is salvation. Now Jesus said, he said in another place, he said what we just read. He says, I'm going to send you just like the Father sent me, but before you go, you're going to need something. Before you go, you're going to need something. I remember when I first started preaching, I was the most boring preacher in the history of the world. I don't know how they put up with me. It was probably because they couldn't afford anybody else because they paid me nothing. But anyway, so Jesus said, I'm sending you the same way that God sent me. Now I want you to see how that was. I want you to look in Luke 4 and verse 18. If you're still there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. I'm just getting warmed up here. So, Luke chapter 4, and you're going to know where I'm coming from today, that's for sure. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, and this is Jesus Christ. He came into the synagogue. They gave him the Bible, and here's what he read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, a recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now I want you to see something. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is what? The Spirit of the Lord is what? Upon me. Remember when he breathed on the apostles? That was the Holy Spirit came to be in them. Now he's going to come to be up on them. It's not a whole lot of difference than it was in the Old Testament. But in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come on a prophet, then the Spirit of God would leave. The Spirit of God would come on a prophet, then the Spirit of God would leave. God said, I'm going to do something different in the church age or this age. He said, the Holy Spirit is going to come up on you, and you're going to be anointed. And he's not really going to leave us like he did in the Old Testament. So in a sense, the Spirit of God came upon him in power. And then he went out in his ministry. Now when did the Spirit of God come on Jesus in power? When Jesus didn't have to be saved because he was never lost. He wasn't born with an old sin nature. But he did need the power of the Holy Spirit. When did that happen? When he was baptized. Absolutely correct. I'm not going to look this up, take too long. But when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came down upon him as a dove. And what that was a sign of or a picture of, he was being anointed or baptized with the Holy Spirit to do the ministry he was going to do, including going to the cross of Calvary and shedding his blood for us. He was anointed right there for the whole shot. You see. And so that's what this baptism with the Holy Spirit is. That's why it's necessary. God said, go out and make disciples of all nations. He said, love people, do all this stuff. And you can't do it without the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, it's just something you learned to do and you did it. It was a learned response which doesn't have the power of God, you see. So, now, listen, I got that clear. Let's go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, and we're going to see where this took place. Jesus had prayed for them in Acts chapter 1. He said, wait in Jerusalem till you get the power of God on you. Don't just go out and start doing stuff. Wait, and they waited, and they prayed. They prayed for 10 days. They waited for 10 days. They were all together. And then, Acts chapter 2, it took place. Now, the Baptist church, well, say they'd say this is for the Pentecostals, you see. But I don't see that anywhere in the Scripture. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound of from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in English as the Spirit gave them utterance. It does? Yours says other tongues? Oh. I was trying to be nice and not upset anybody. Listen, I was upset about this at one time. Watch those Pentecostals. You never know what they're going to do. Well, anyway, it took place there. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to have that very same experience and the wind has to come and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't mean that particularly. Everybody has their own experience in the matter. Sometimes it happens instantly when somebody prays to receive the baptism of the Spirit. Sometimes it happens days later, sometimes months later, whatever it is. Particularly if you're against it, it'll take longer. But they were filled with the very presence of God in that particular place. Now, the Spirit came upon them to anoint them in the areas where they were gifted by God so they could go out and share those gifts with the world. Now, everybody in here that's a Christian has gifts of God, and if you're not sharing your gifts, it's probably because that you have not asked for, and you need to ask for this, this baptism with the Holy Spirit. We're going to baptize in water tonight, but what this experience is being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, the devil has deceived these folks, just like he did the Baptist, and what he said to these folks are, well, you remember that experience you had back so-and-so, and that great experience, and it was just wonderful, and you felt the love of God, and it was just, for a few days, you were just flying high, and it was just so great. Well, God gave it all to you there, so just remember that back there, and just kind of squeak on until Jesus comes. That is not what the Bible says. Absolutely not. Here's what most churches do not teach today, which I'm going to teach, because this is a third part of this, and we're going to look at this today. And some people never go. Some people never do what God wants them to do. Some people never led anybody to Christ, although God's not keeping count necessarily. And the issue is some people have never made disciples. Some people, I tell you, you get everything imaginable in church. You get people that come that don't care anything about it. They just like the people, and they just have a good experience, and they go home. And then you have some people that come, and they're excited. Man, they are happy. They have about 5 or 6 hours of happiness, and then they go right back to what they were in the first place. And then you have people come that are so tied up in the world, they want to do the things of God, and there's a struggle in them all the time, but they're so involved in worldly stuff that keeps them away from God. Wrong companions, wrong place, wrong people, and they lost their joy, and they get tired of the struggle, and sometimes they just kind of fade away. And then the fourth thing is you have people, some are do 30-fold and some 60 and some 100-fold in the things of God because everything went into good dirt and they took on these things and they're doing what God tells them. The Word of God is alive and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. But the issue is the Bible says something. Keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. Not just a one-time experience 20 years ago. Every day be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know how you can tell a real Christian? They do the things of God when they don't feel like it. They come to church when they don't feel like it. Oh, I think I sneezed. I think I sneezed when I woke up. I don't think I'll go to church today. Probably not a Christian. I'm not picking on anybody. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. It doesn't stop. It keeps right on going through the whole book of Acts. And the book of Acts never had an ending because it's still going. So you have Acts chapter 4, verse 29. I don't know what time it is, and I don't care. And now... Acts chapter 4, verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto your servants with boldness that we may speak the word by stretching forth our hands to heal the signs, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all what with the Holy Spirit?
Filled
with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. This was later, the same bunch that got baptized with the Holy Spirit, now filled with the Holy Spirit. And so you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit as salvation. You have the baptism with the Holy Spirit at your Pentecostal experience. And then you have the filling of the Spirit on a daily basis. And you have to ask God for it. You confess your sins, you get cleaned up, you do what God wants you to do, and then you ask for the filling of the Spirit, which is the power of God to do what God's called you to do. Now, look at Ephesians 5:18. I just want to show you, we can't go into detail on all this, but you get the picture. Now, you can choose and pick and choose and whatever, but God's way is to get it all. I decided a long time ago, God, I want everything. If it kills me, I want everything. I don't care. Now, here we are. What did I say? Ephesians 5:18. All right, here it is. Be not drunk with wine, which is in excess, which you can do if you want to. But be what? Be what? Filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always, submitting one to another. And you do all that stuff because you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you have the power of God. Therefore, you can do those things that God wants you to do. Now, let's just keep right on moving. Acts chapter 8, verse 14. It doesn't stop. It just keeps on flowing. In Paul's epistles, it is assumed that you have the baptism with the Spirit and you are desiring to be filled with the Spirit. That's assumed in all the rest of the New Testament in most places. So Acts chapter 8, and I'm almost there. And verse 14, and this says, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, then they sent unto them Peter and John, in other words, they got saved, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the what?
Holy Spirit.
They might receive what?
Holy Spirit.
Okay, there you go. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they'd been saved, but they hadn't been baptized with the Spirit yet. So Peter and whoever went down there and laid hands on them, they received this baptism with the Holy Spirit, and the power of God came, and so forth. Now, some people teach you get the whole thing at salvation, and I'm not saying that's impossible, but in most cases it doesn't happen, whether it's because we don't know the information and we don't know to ask for it or whatever the reason. I don't know it all. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Now, I'm going to show you something else that happened. Acts 18 and verse 24. I've heard people, to get around this, they say Acts is only history. It doesn't mean anything. Oh, yes. All right. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him with them, expounded unto him the way of the God more perfectly, and so on. And what happened, this guy was very eloquent. He was preaching what he knew, the baptism of John. Aquila and Priscilla took him aside. They said, you need to know about salvation. You need to know about the Holy Spirit. You need to know all this stuff. They gave it all to him. He got it and went on, became a mighty preacher of God. Now, let's go to Acts 19 and verse 1. I'm hurrying as fast as I can. 19 and verse 1. Here's another interesting experience. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul was passing through the upper borders, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, they were disciples, they were Christians, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? They said unto him, we've not so much as heard there's any Holy Spirit. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? They said, John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people, they should believe on him, she should come after them, that is on Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Look at this. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in English and prophesied. Some people's English is like speaking. Some people's English is like speaking in tongues, if you know what I mean. Mine is one of them. But anyway, I came from Missouri, went up to Chicago when I was just out of school, and those people up and say, "What world are you from?" You know, I was from Missouri down there. Talk like those country folks. And I was into the big city. And they thought I was an alien from Mars or something. Well, anyway. The sad part about this, folks, is very simply this. There's a whole lot of people preaching that have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How in the world are they going to see the power of God work in people's lives? I'm interested in seeing the power of God work in your life. That's why I teach what I teach. I want to see the power of God direct you into the right path. I want to see the power of God give you the power to talk to somebody about Jesus and to get saved. I want to see the power of God in you where you can lay hands on somebody, they receive the Holy Spirit. You can lay hands on somebody and they get healed. That's what Jesus said we are to do. That's what he did. We said we're to go out and minister to the brokenhearted and those that are in prison and all of these things. And you can't do that without the power of God. You know, I've seen more missionaries go out on the field and give up and come home. And why was it? They didn't have the power of God. They were saved, but they didn't have the power of God, you see. And anybody can come to Christ for this. Now, I'm going to talk real quick about receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. And then I also want to mention, you need to every day ask God to fill you with the Spirit of God. I don't want to drive my car out of the garage without asking God to fill me with the Spirit of God. I don't know what I'm going to encounter when I get out into the city or whatever. And so I'm asking God, fill me with the Spirit. Every encounter I have, if you want me to do something or say something or pray for somebody, I will. It hasn't got anything to do with me being the pastor. I'm talking about during the week when I'm just going to the grocery store or something. Every time Grace and I get in the car, we pray. We don't know what we're going to encounter wherever we're going. We want to be filled with the Spirit of God, not just on Sunday. How do you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You have to be obedient to the words of Christ. You have to be obedient to the Bible. You have to be obedient. God said, wait and pray until you receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit. That was the last command of God before he went up into heaven. They went to Jerusalem. They waited. We sang that song, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. You need to humble yourself before God. He's God, and we're not. You know, and we say, Lord, you said that I needed this. Give it to me. Lay it on me. Be hungry for God. They prayed for 10 days in the same place with the same people. We're here an hour and a half with the same people. He said, be hungry for these things. Don't be satisfied with religion. Don't be satisfied with running around this world with no power of God. You see? Yes, you need to pray. You need to confess your sins up to date. Forsake sin. Forsake evil companions. Forsake people that's going to lead you down the wrong road. You have to do that. Another problem is today we don't preach enough on sin. Sin will grieve the Holy Spirit, and you won't be able to do what God wants you to do. So it's important to get out of that. Get out of sin. Pray. The final command has not changed. You see? It's one of many commands, but that's one of them. God didn't give us 600 and some odd commandments they had back in the Old Testament. He just gave us a few. We can at least do those. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
So what do? You can come down an invitation and somebody that's filled with the Spirit of God can lay hands on you and pray. And sometimes it happens instantly. Sometimes it takes a while. I had a guy, he says, I just don't know if I believe in this. And I said, well, okay, whatever. What do you want to do? He says, I want to pray though. I said, okay. We prayed for him. Nothing happened. He went home, woke up in the middle of the night speaking in English. Maybe Spanish. It's probably more spiritual, right? So anyway, somebody said, well, if I get the gift of tongues, then I'd have to speak in tongues in the church and I'd feel embarrassed. Well, you know, that is the least of what that gift's all about. The Bible says if you pray in tongues, it will empower you to do the things of God. I'm not ashamed to say I pray in tongues. I didn't. Back when I was the big B Baptist, you know, they didn't watch those Pentecostals. I don't consider myself Pentecostal. I consider myself a guy that wants to follow where Jesus wants him to go. Are you listening to me? And there's a lot of some people that are, say they're Pentecostal that don't even go to church. Give me a break. That doesn't mean anything. What means is, do you have the power of God? I don't care what denomination you are, it doesn't make any difference. God's not going to mention denominations in heaven anyway. If you really believe this, we all go to heaven, and there's a little Catholic group over here, and the Baptists are over there in that corner getting away from the Pentecostals. And the Pentecostals are making so much noise, nobody can hear anything. Not even God. Can you imagine that? I don't think so. There's going to be such love up there. That I can't wait to get there. That's a fact. And we got to start it here. Let's stand before the Lord.